As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Solomon writes, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. In 2006 and 2007, President Donald Trump, a decade before he became president, was paid $1.5 million per speech at a learning annex, a real estate wealth expo. The year before that, he was paid $1 million per speech. When someone speaks in such a way that others deem what they have to say is valuable, evidently they will pay a great sum of money to hear it. With that being said, do we value the words of wisdom than the words of mere ordinary men? President Trump's words have a dollar value assigned to them. Wisdom's words, they are priceless. When wisdom calls, we should answer. When wisdom speaks, we should listen. Last time we were together, we considered the first five verses of chapter 8. Today, we will consider verses 6 through 11. Last week, I charged you to answer wisdom's call because he speaks tirelessly and he seeks tenderheartedly. For our time this morning, I will provide you with two more reasons to answer wisdom's call. To kick us off, answer wisdom's call because he shows truth. Answer wisdom's call because he shows truth. Read verses 6 through 9 with me. Wisdom says, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge." In those verses that we read, a number of facts are stated about wisdom and wisdom's word. I want to go through each one of them. Number one, wisdom speaks noble things. Wisdom speaks noble things, meaning that what he says is of the utmost importance. He is the very definition of majesty and royalty. His words are the words not of a mere king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They should be treated accordingly. Number two, from the lips of wisdom come what is right. Everything that he says conforms to reality. His words are in proper order. They are just. They are upright. They are straight, fair, and genuine. Number three, Wisdom's mouth utters truth. In other words, his words are firm. They are constant, stable, reliable, and faithful. Put negatively, he doesn't lie. He speaks the truth and nothing but the truth. Number four, wickedness is an abomination to his lips. That which aims to execute evil or injustice against God or others is hated by wisdom. The intensity of the hatred here is hard to describe. Such wickedness, and the imagery from our text, such wickedness makes wisdom want to puke. He is disgusted by them. If wickedness were to touch his lips, he would gag and he would vomit it out. It cannot be spoken by him. Number five, all the words of wisdom's mouth are righteous. That is, they conform to the moral standard of God's holy and perfect law. All things that he speaks are good and righteous. Number six, there is nothing twisted or crooked in wisdom's word. There is no deception in his words. There is no distortion in his words. His words lead to true and eternal life. Number seven, the words of wisdom are straightforward. There is nothing hidden in the ways or the words of wisdom. He is a straight shooter who does not beat around the bush. There is no hidden agenda in anything that he says. In other words, that when wisdom speaks, there is no fine print. Everything he says that we must believe or that we must do is clear and available to those who hear him. And then number eight, wisdom's words are right. You'll notice I already said that, but it repeats it in the text. His words are level, right, just, and righteous. Wisdom, according to our passage, in the words that he speaks, they are remarkable. They are beautiful. And they are life-giving. And they are true. And we should seek to answer those words. That being said, verse 9 adds two disclaimers to the list. Not fine print, it's in the regular print. It adds two disclaimers. The words of wisdom are straight and right to a certain kind of person. Namely, the one who understands and the one who finds knowledge. In other words, the unbeliever with no fear of the Lord will not see the words of wisdom as they actually are. Only the unbelieving fool will see the words of wisdom as folly. Or as Paul says in his epistles, the words of the gospel are folly to those who do not believe. But those who do not believe are wrong-headed and hearted. Only the one who has the gift of saving faith and the inward working of the Holy Spirit will see the words of wisdom for what they actually are. And again, that is noble, right, true, not wicked, righteous, not crooked, straight, and right. Again, those who are of wisdom's flock hear his voice because they are his sheep. They hear him and they respond accordingly. Those who are not a part of wisdom's flock, they will not listen to his voice. They will not recognize it. They will not answer it. And they will find his words to be folly to their own peril and destruction. Imagine with me for a moment, and this should not be too difficult. There was once a child who had no respect for his parents. When they spoke, he ignored them. The obvious truths they spoke were plain to most, but to him, they mattered very little. He was going to do whatever he wanted. In the end, his life will be a disaster because his view of his parents will transfer to his view of all authorities, including state authorities and God, who stands above all. Isn't it obvious that the child who respects and reveres his parents will hear and obey their words with greater frequency than the child who does not? The posture one has to a given speaker is a good predictor to how they will receive and respond to the words spoken to them. If they love them and revere the one who is speaking to them, they will answer them rightly. If they hate them, they won't. And it will be to their own destruction. There are a few applications that may be drawn from this principle that we learn from this passage, this idea that wisdom speaks truth. Believer, where do you go for guidance? Where should you go for guidance? The answer, according to our passage, is the first place you should go is to the one who is described as wisdom. And I haven't made it plain this sermon. I made it plain in other sermons. But when Proverbs speaks of wisdom, first and foremost, it is speaking of a person. Not just practical knowledge of how to do things well. Here in this text, wisdom is speaking first and foremost about Jesus, the second member of the Holy Trinity, who at the fullness of time became flesh. So where should you go for guidance? When I say you should go for wisdom or go to wisdom, or rather when God's word says you should go to wisdom, it's saying that you should go to Jesus for guidance. When he issues a call, and his call most predominantly and most clearly comes through the scriptures, the call upon us as believers is to answer the call. That is, if he proclaims something that is true, how should we respond? We should believe it. If he tells us that we should do something, if he commands us to do something, how should we respond? We should obey it. You should forever be a diligent following learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word disciple in Greek literally means a following learner. That's what it means. To be one's disciple means that on the one hand you follow somebody, and on the other hand you are seeking to learn from them. And there is no Christian, no true Christian, who is not a disciple. There's not multiple classes of Christian. You either are one or you're not. You either are a disciple or you're not. And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have become one of his disciples, and you should therefore act accordingly. If you are a true believer and not a nominal or a counterfeit Christian, when Jesus speaks to you through his word, your ears should pick it up. Your mind and your heart should receive it, and your hands should do whatever he tells you to do. Therefore, be at a place and put yourself in a place where you are regularly encountering God's word. Gather with saints in a church where the word of God is proclaimed. And gather there as often as you are physically capable of doing. Let it be the excuse that you miss all other things on the Lord's day to go and hear the word preached. Yes, there are exceptions. There are good and faithful excuses not to gather with the saints. But by and large, the excuses that most give are not those. If you are physically capable of being here and hearing the word of God preached, this is not just according to Jimmy. This is according to God's word. You should gather together with the saints, stirring up one another to love and good works. And if you want to check me, that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Gather with the saints and hear the word preached. But also, when you are apart from the people of God, Let me encourage you. Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak out loud to you, read it out loud. Or have someone else read it out loud to you. In addition to reading the Bible on your own. You can probably guess where I'm going next, some of you. Memorize the Bible. Maybe not the whole thing. If you're super ambitious, I'd be pretty encouraged if you memorized the whole Bible and convicted, because I have not done that. But memorize passages of Scripture. Commit the truth of God's word to your mind and to your heart by memorizing Scripture so that you will be able to recall it in times of great need. Memorize Scripture. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who meditates on God's word day and night." How will you meditate on God's word if you don't know it? How will you meditate on God's word day and night if you're not continually being poured into through the ministry of the word, having it preached out loud to you, memorizing it and reading it? So, believer, I encourage you, go to the Word of God. Go to the words of wisdom, because in the Scriptures, Jesus speaks to you. And He will continue to speak to you. This is not a dead word that we find in our Bibles. It is a living word. It is a word that is inspired, breathed out by the Holy Spirit, and is able to change you in ways that you did not even believe you could be changed. It is profitable, Paul says, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete and equipped for every good work. Go to the Word of God. Church, I want to speak to all of us for a moment. What is our ultimate authority in matters of faith and practice? The Word of God. No trick questions here. You should be able to answer my questions with relative ease. It is the Word of God that we find within the Holy Scriptures. Again, it is in and through these words that we find in this book that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, that He leads us as His people. And therefore, we must continue to hold fast to the Word of God. I say continue because I believe we do this. We must continue to do so. We must continue to seek to follow the commands of Scripture, even when they are inconvenient, even when they are unpopular. Or some might perceive them to be unkind. Our worship, when we gather together and what is included in our worship service, it must be regulated by the Word of God, because only God has the right to say how He is going to be worshiped. We don't have the right to be innovative in that. We must do what God tells us to do. When we evangelize the lost, we must not tone down the truths of God's word. We must not make the gospel message softer in order to make it more palpable to what we perceive the unbelieving man wants to hear. We must share the bad news and the good news and do it unashamedly. Let us follow the words of wisdom and view them in the way that they are portrayed in this passage that we have read. For example, this is pertinent. What Jesus says about church discipline, what do you believe about that? Here's what you should believe about it. You should believe that it's noble, that it's right, that it's true, that it's not wicked, that it's righteous, that it's not crooked, that it's straight, and again, that it's right. Our culture does not like the idea of church discipline. Unfortunately, many Christians do not like the idea of church discipline. But that's just too bad, because Jesus speaks about it. And if Jesus, who is wisdom, speaks about it, then it must be good. It must be right. It must be perfect. Not that we execute it perfectly at all times, but it still must be done. If you disagree with what Jesus says, then you view his words like an unbelieving fool. We all need to hear that sometimes. That's just one example. What Jesus says about any number of things that our culture and our flesh is inclined to disagree with or find harsh or not good. If we respond to it with angst and reject it and we refuse to do it, we are not acting like a follower of wisdom. But let it not be so among us. Instead, let us view all of Jesus' words and all of Jesus' commands as they are described here in this passage as noble, true, good, beautiful, right, just, straight. Unbeliever, you are presently in a state of sin, misery, and folly. You to this point in your life have rejected the words of wisdom. He has been calling you, but you keep pressing ignore. You think you know better than him. That's what the unbelieving heart and the unbelieving person believes. They believe they know better than God, than his son. You believe the voices of others above him. Most of the words you believe, love, and speak are crooked and wayward and only lead to destruction and damnation. Instead of following folly, following lady folly or adultery, unbeliever, turn to the call of wisdom. Trust in the one who is speaking. Receive his invitation, receive his salvation, and he will save you. Even if you've rejected his call for a very, very long time, if you respond now, it's not too late. He is a kind and compassionate and gracious Savior. If you seek him, you will find him. If you call out to him, he will answer you. Answer his call and he will save you. Yes, answer wisdom's call because he speaks tirelessly, seeks tenderheartedly, and shows truth. Lastly, answer wisdom's call because he surpasses treasures. He surpasses treasures. Consider with me what wisdom says in verses 10 through 11. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. In these two verses, wisdom commands all people, even the simpleton and the fool, to take his instruction. To take, not merely to accept it as true or even good. One must seize and take hold of the instruction that wisdom provides, and they must take a hold of it as if it is more valuable than all earthly treasures. It must be seen as even more valuable than silver or gold. The reason given is straightforward, is that wisdom is better than those things. He is better than silver or gold. He is better than jewels. He is better than whatever one could even begin to think to desire. Nothing, period, can be compared to him. Nothing that you think you desire can be compared to the infinite worth of wisdom and the words that he shares with you. I mean, think with me. What's something that you value? Is it money? Jesus is better than that. Is it land? Jesus is better than that. Livestock, your job, your hobbies, even your own family. Jesus is better and superior to all those things. Job, in his search for wisdom, states the surpassing worth of wisdom in Job chapter 28, verses 12 through 19. I just want you to hear what he says. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot compare with it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. He asks a question, where can wisdom be found? He doesn't answer that question, though. He just simply states that the ways that we use to achieve the other things that we want, such as through riches or wealth, they do us no good when trying to find wisdom. He cannot be bought. Nothing can compare to him. Nothing matches his worth. He is priceless. He is infinite in value. But I will answer Job's question, because God's word answers it elsewhere. Where is wisdom found? It's found by faith in Jesus Christ, wisdom incarnate. And Jesus, in his worth, is unrivaled by anything else in the created universe. What Jesus says of the kingdom of heaven is certainly true of himself, who is its king. Consider what Jesus says in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Just listen. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Wisdom, like the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great value, is worth the price of all of one's earthly possession. Whatever we compare Jesus to, he is better. And if we must lose even our greatest earthly desires in order to have Jesus, he is more than worth it. If we lose everything for following Jesus, we will have everything that we need and then some. Jesus surpasses treasures. Christian, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus' worth surpasses the worth of all other things? Do you in your heart and mind treasure Jesus above everything else in your life? To treasure Christ in such a way, you require God's help. If you are to treasure Jesus in the way that Scripture calls you to, you need God's help and you need the help of others. You need to have others who can encourage you, others who have gone before you, and others who are following behind you. We need each other. And God in his grace, he provides us with each other so that we might encourage one another and help one another to see the world rightly. Because so oftentimes our vision of life is easily clouded out and distorted by the temptations of the evil one, the flesh, and the world. We need to be reminded that Jesus is worth more than anything else. So remember, do not go at it alone. The renegade Christian is a Christian who is in deep, deep trouble. And if they aren't in trouble already, they're about to be. We need each other. You need the Word of God. You need to value the Word of God. And church, I'm glad again to commend you. This is something we do. You treasure the Word of God. And I know that because you come to hear it every week. I'm not the most charismatic speaker or dynamic speaker in the world. You don't come from me. You come to hear the Word of God. Even if I weren't up here, as long as the one up here is preaching the Word, you come and you receive it. You don't call for schemes and plans just to fill the seats of our church. You come to hear the Word of God, and you would be disappointed if you didn't hear it. So keep treasuring the Word. Keep coming to hear the Word of God. We do not need the clever schemes or marketing strategies of the world for our church to grow. God grows churches. And having a seat, or having all our seats filled with unbelievers and reprobates, will do us no good. God grows the church. And we do not need to be more clever than Him. So let us continue to value the Word of God. And we already do this. Again, that's what's taught here. When you gather on Sunday morning, it's what's taught in our Sunday school. It's what's taught at Team Kid or in youth group. Every one of our ministries is centered on the Word. And praise be to God for that. Because we don't do that by our own strength, and we don't do it by our own intelligence or intellect or our cleverness. It's God working in and through us. It's God who has changed your spiritual taste buds and made you ready to delight in the feast of His Word. And like Him, you do not delight in lies, and let it continue to be so. Unbeliever, you may not see it right now, but Jesus is better than everything. Jesus is better than anything that the world can offer you. He does not offer temporary riches or temporary pleasure. He offers you Himself. He offers you eternal pleasures, eternal riches, eternal life. Anything that the world may offer you, it might be great for a moment, but it passes away just like vapor in the wind. It's vain, it's vanity. Vanity of vanities, says Solomon. It is a striving after the wind. But that's not so with the words of wisdom. They are iron. They are pillars of gold that last forever. So, unbeliever, respond to the call of wisdom, and you will have real life and real joy that is not fleeting. You will know God, and you will be numbered among of one. You will be numbered among God's people. You will be one of the saints who praises Him in glory. But reject the words of wisdom, and you will perish. Apparently, the words of Donald Trump were worth $1.5 million 2 years in a row per speech. Meaning, not just for all the speeches, each speech he gave, he got paid that. Others deemed his words valuable because they paid to listen to him. My question is, are the words of wisdom more valuable than Donald Trump's? Are the words of wisdom more valuable than any ordinary man? Is the call of wisdom a call that we must answer? Yes, it is. The words of wisdom, as I said earlier, they are priceless. Ultimately, we cannot put a monetary value next to them. Yes, the call of wisdom is far more important to answer than any other call that is put upon our lives. Wisdom. He is God the Son, who in the fullness of time became the man Jesus through the virgin birth. He is wisdom, and He is the promised Messiah who came to redeem His people from sin and death. Wisdom is the one who lived in perfect obedience in the place of his people. Wisdom is the one who preached through the prophets of old, who preached in his earthly ministry in Galilee, who preached after his resurrection through his apostles and through the scriptures that they inspired. And it is wisdom who still speaks through the word of God. Wisdom, whose call pierces through the overwhelming noise and lies that distract us from hearing and answering him. He is the one whose call ultimately matters. All other calls pale in comparison. And wisdom is the one who died on the cross. He is the one who rose on the third day. He is the one who presently, right now, as we are meeting here today, sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for his people. He is the one who sends his Holy Spirit to call us from spiritual death to spiritual life, to equip us for ministry, to preserve us through all the woes of life, or that life may bring to us. And he is the one who, when God has designed, will come back again and make all things new. Wisdom is calling. The question is, have you answered him? Are you answering wisdom's call? You should answer his call, because he speaks tirelessly, seeks tenderheartedly, shows truth, and surpasses treasure. Unbeliever, answer his call immediately and he will save you. And if you reject his call, you will face him in judgment and it will not go well for you. And believer, keep answering his call. Keep responding to his word. He will strengthen you. He will equip you. He will walk with you all the way to the end of the race that he has set before you. And church, let us continue to be a transmitter for the call of Jesus. Let us continue to preach and proclaim his word in all our ministries as we have been doing so. And may God help each and every one of us to answer the call of wisdom, to answer the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,